Ron's going to come and read some verses from the book of Deuteronomy. And the context of this reading is that it was the time just before the Israelites were going to enter the promised land. So they're standing on the threshold of it. Moses, their leader, is going to die and not enter the promised land. But the book of Deuteronomy is God's instructions to them of how they are to live in a way that honors him when they enter that land. And this section is particularly about the role of their king. So thanks, Ron. We're going to read Deuteronomy 17, verses 14 to 20.
When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, have taken possession of it, settled in it, and you say, let us set a king over us like all the nations around us. Be sure to appoint over you a king the Lord your God chooses. He must be from among your fellow Israelites. Do not place a foreigner over you, one who is not an Israelite. The king, moreover, must not acquire great numbers of horses for himself or make the people return to Egypt to get more of them. For the Lord has told you not to go back that way again. He must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that the Levitical priests. It is to be with him. He is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God. Follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites, and turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel.
Thanks, Ron. Well, the response to the Queen's passing has been overwhelming thanksgiving, hasn't it, for her life, but mingled with that sense of loss. Lots of people have been asking and saying to reporters on the news programs I've been watching, will we ever see a ruler, queen or a king like her again? And you don't even need to be a royalist, do you, to admire the way that her life touched so many millions of people. People that never knew her personally, maybe never even met her, are mourning her death because they loved and appreciated the way that she served. They were grateful for the way that she represented our country around the world in such a positive way. For many around the world, she was the face of Great Britain. And we can see that from the many foreign tributes that have come in to her in the last few days. Well, what can we learn from her life? We're going to look at just two things, and we're going to use quotes from her famous Christmas Day services intermingled with some verses from the Bible that they point us to, including the verses that Ron just read for us. Here's the first thing that we're going to look at together. I struggle to find a way of saying this, but it's the good that comes from righteousness, the good that comes particularly when we're led by a righteous leader. Here's something that the Queen said on Christmas Day in 1952, her first Christmas address. She said, "Pray for me that God may give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises I shall be making, and that I may faithfully serve him and you all the days of my life." And what were those promises that she was just about to make at her coronation? Well, on the 2nd of June 1953, she promised three things. She promised, firstly, to govern appropriately. Secondly, to maintain justice. And thirdly, to profess the gospel of Christ. To govern appropriately, to maintain justice, and to profess the gospel of Christ. That's the promises that she made before God and to us all. In a book of the Bible called Proverbs, we read this. Should be up here up on the screen. "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. If a nation wants to be lifted high, then it needs to know what God says is good and right, and needs to do it. and needs to promote that through its laws and its leaders. So the Queen asked the nation to pray that God would give her the wisdom to do that. And it's really interesting that the Bible's definition of wisdom is maybe a little bit different to the world's definition. Here's two more verses that help us understand what true wisdom is. In Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Similarly, Psalm 110, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. Now, fear of God doesn't mean terror and wanting to run away screaming. It means that right reverence for who God is, recognizing that he is king over all. And it's that right reverence, that right fear of God, that will lead to living in a way that is wise and a way that pleases him. In fact, the right awe of God and that desire to live for him, if carried out, would lead to society's flourishing. The Bible says that the root of that wisdom comes from knowing God personally. You see that in Psalm. In the Proverbs quote. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Knowledge is not just understanding facts in your head. It's a relational word. I know you if I'm in a relationship with you. Think about somebody that you know well. You might know many facts about their life. I don't know, their birthday, their shoe size, what flavor ice cream is their favorite. I don't know. But knowing those facts alone doesn't bring you into a relationship with them. True knowledge is relational, talking and listening. It's having that commitment to one another, sharing life together. The Bible's telling us that personal relationship with God is the key to living a wise life. And it's the key to being a wise leader. The history of God's people in the Old Testament show us that when they had good kings who were wise, who followed God's ways and acknowledged God, the nation was secure and they flourished. But when they had bad kings, kings that lived for other things, maybe their own pleasure ruled them, or the acquisition of wealth or their own status, then what followed on was almost every time oppression of the people, injustice, violence, division. Before God's people entered the promised land, this new important start for them as a nation, the land that God had prepared for them, he told them about their future kings. Ron read us the verses. I just want to pick out one part from it. When the king takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, this book of Deuteronomy, taken from that of the Levitical priests. And it's to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites, and turn from the law to the right or to the left. God says this is a function of a ruler, to read and to know his word and to live by it. Now, sadly, there weren't many kings in the history of Israel who did this, and disaster ensued for them, but there were some. In her Christmas broadcast of the year 2000, the Queen managed to find pictures to match the years, so I hope you're impressed with that. But in her Christmas broadcast of 2000, the Queen gave us an insight into how she sought to govern. She'd been Queen for quite a long time by that stage. And she said this, "For me, the teachings of Christ and my own personal accountability before God provide a framework in which I try to lead my life." She was recognizing that God's word should be the thing that guides her in how she lives and how she leads, and also that she's going to have to give an account before God, as each of us are. And in the 22 years since she said those words, just think of how many contemporary leaders we've seen fail and fall around us. And I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older, but it seems to be happening at an unprecedented rate. Think of how at times we've seen little sense of duty or promise keeping, and actually no sense of accountability to God. It's one of the reasons the world mourns the loss of Queen Elizabeth. She seemed to be an exception. And even people that are anti-monarchists could see something of the goodness that is experienced when God's ways are cherished and followed. And how do we know what his ways are? Well, he's revealed himself to us in the Bible, in his word. And in that reading from Deuteronomy, we see the king instructed to read God's word and to follow it each day. And the queen too saw this as the best thing to do. At her coronation, she was presented as part of the ceremony with a Bible. And these words rang out around the world. It'd be interesting to see if these words will happen at the next coronation. But these were the words: "We present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." Now picture the scene at her coronation. There she is, picture there. She's wearing a priceless gold crown with 2,901 precious jewels in it. She's sitting on a glorious golden throne in a beautiful 1,000-year-old building. And yet, in the midst of all that earthly glory, God's word was recognized as being the most valuable thing that this world affords. If you're here this afternoon, or whether you're, if you're listening in online, can I ask you, do you want to live a wise life, a life that works? The beginning of that sort of life comes from having a right personal knowledge of God and hearing his voice in his word. If you wouldn't yet say you're a follower of Jesus, then we can help you to begin to read for yourself and to discover that. We have on the table where you came in, there's an account of Jesus' life from the New Testament called Luke. Or if you are someone that just needs some help reading and understanding what God says in his word, then on the table here there's some little booklets called Time with God that just help you to begin to read and understand. There's a lovely logic here, isn't there? If God is the creator, if he's the one that we were made to know, if he's the one to whom we have to give account, then hearing and responding to his word must lead to a true life, because he designed life. He knows what makes life work best. He knows what we need. His wisdom is life-giving. For those of us here that would say we are followers of Jesus, then we need to remember this when day in, day out, we're surrounded by so many different voices, by the wisdom of this world that often promises much but actually doesn't deliver. Righteousness exalts a nation. And we discover what true righteousness looks like through the wisdom of God's word. And the main reason for this is because God's word ultimately points us to the true king that each of us needs to trust and know. The king that our queen placed her trust in, that's Jesus. That's the second thing to reflect on her life today. Trusting the true king, Jesus. Here's some words from Psalm 146. "Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, their God." If our ultimate trust is in any human, be they a monarch, be they a prime minister, be they our boss, be they a pastor, be they a friend, a spouse, then ultimately we will end up disappointed and let down, because no human being lives forever. No human leader rules perfectly. None of us is without fault. Even Queen Elizabeth. I found it interesting, although I think I do understand why, but the news coverage in the last few days has not raised any sort of criticism of the Queen. And yet, just wind back 25 years ago this week, or round about, I think the funeral was round about this week, with the death of Princess Diana, and the opposite was happening. There was much criticism in the nation. People were querying the future of the monarchy because they didn't feel the Queen had handled things correctly. even though our queen was a good queen, who sought to lead in the right ways as shown by God's word, she still made mistakes. She still got things wrong. It's the human condition. Even when we know what is good and right and what is life-giving, isn't it your experience? It's certainly mine that we so often choose the opposite. The queen knew this, and she needed to trust the Saviour that God had provided, the only one who can deal with that problem of our failure, the only one who can put us into right relationship with the God who ultimately we have offended by scorning his good ways. Here's something she said on her Christmas Day speech in 2011. History teaches us we need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. God sent into the world neither a philosopher nor a general, but a saviour with the power to forgive. Queen Elizabeth trusted this eternal king, this saviour, Jesus, the one who, though he was fully God, became one of us, the one who came in humility to serve, not to be served, even though he deserves to be served by all of us. We are his creation. No, he came in this way because ultimately he came to give his life for us all. He came to deal with our biggest need, and our biggest need isn't the cost of living crisis, big though that is. Our biggest need isn't the war in Ukraine, desperate though that is. It's not the climate crisis, as serious as that is. Our biggest problem is that we are all estranged from our Creator. We cannot know true life now and the eternal life to come without being reconciled to him, the giver of that life. And for that to happen, the offence of our living our way with little reference or no reference to him needs to be forgiven. The Bible calls this rejection of him sin. Living our own way rather than his way. It damages his wonderful creation. It hurts our relationships with one another personally and on a nation levels, leads to wars. And it damages ourselves as we cannot even be the people we desire to be. Our rejection of God, be it seen in our indifference towards him or in our outright rebellion of him, has broken that relationship that we were created to enjoy, that relationship that we need to know to truly live now, but also to have life forever in his coming kingdom, a kingdom that he has said will we only know righteousness and peace and joy. And like our queen, Jesus didn't get to live to an old age because he came to die. He willingly went to the cross of his execution, knowing that his perfect life alone could bear the weight of our offense against God. He alone could take that punishment in our place. And he alone, as a result of dealing with our sin, defeated death and now reigns forever with the fullness of his kingdom to come when he returns to wrap up human history. And so the Christian message that the Queen believed is that he alone can put us into right relationship with God and give us eternal life. I expect at the Queen's funeral a week tomorrow we'll hear these words of Jesus. These are words that Jesus said to his bereaved friend, Martha, who just lost her brother. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," Martha replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." For those who place their trust in King Jesus, he enables us to live the right life now because he puts us into friendship with the God in whom we find all wisdom. He enables us to live the right, wise life now because he gives us his very spirit to live within us, to strengthen us, helping us to enjoy friendship with God and to live life the way he created it to be lived. But for those who place their trust in Jesus, he also promises life everlasting in his perfect coming kingdom for those who live with him as Saviour and King now. The Queen knew she needed a Saviour. God sent into the world not a philosopher, not a general, but a Saviour with the power to forgive. The only one who could bring God's forgiveness to us personally is Jesus. And that's the good news of Christianity. When we believe this, it brings us into right relationship with God. And right relationship with God brings us true joy that nothing in life can take away. Peace of heart, no matter what happens. And solid hope in the midst of all life's sorrows and joys in a world actually that changes at such a speed. This past week we've seen that change in the Prime Minister, change in our monarch. Perhaps you are experiencing big change in your own life. Trust in Jesus as your King. That trust can start when, like the Queen, you recognise your need of a Saviour, when you know that you need to be reconciled to the God who is good and perfect, the God of love. That change begins when you stop trusting in other things in your life to give you your ultimate meaning and your hope and purpose, be they other people or possessions or careers or your abilities or your own wisdom or your bank balance or your reputation. Only Jesus delivers. Only he offers life as it was meant to be experienced. Only he offers us eternal life. I'm going to end with the words of the Queen from her Christmas speech in 2013. When she talks about Jesus' birth being the ultimate example of God's love coming to us all, she said, "The Christmas message shows us that this love is for everyone. There is no one beyond its reach. You place your trust in the true King that the Queen followed, Jesus, then you too can know that love." Let's pray together. Father, again, we thank you for Queen Elizabeth. Thank you for her trust in you. Thank you for we can learn through her example. But thank you most of all that she recognized she needed a Saviour, even though she was one of the greatest and the best in our land. Thank you that she had that humility to recognize she needed to be forgiven by you and brought into that right relationship with you. Father, we pray for one another. Pray for those who have yet to take that step and place their trust in Jesus, that your Spirit would prompt them. And we pray for those of us who have been following Jesus maybe for years and decades maybe, that again you'd give us that joy that comes from living that life lived with you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it not only shows us the wise way to live, but it shows us how to be put right with you. Thank you that through your Spirit you give us the power to live your wise and right ways. So we bring ourselves to you. And thank you for Jesus, our King, Jesus, our Saviour. And in his name we pray. Amen.